Leaders are all around us. At all times and in every area of our lives, they motivate, they risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Kelly Crane, Public Information Officer for the Waco-McLennan County Public Health District. Hosting the conversation is KWBU President Joe Riley.
Welcome to KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Joe Riley talking today with Kelly Crane, Public Information Officer for the Public Health District of Waco and McLennan County. Hello, Kelly.
Hello.
Welcome. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
This is, you know, this conversation is being recorded on July 7th. And of 2020, mm-hmm. Sometimes they get reused and so re-aired. So for those who are listening the first time or many times later, well, a couple of times later, just the context of this is we are recording this in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic.
The
largest pandemic that the world has seen. Since when?
1918. Yeah, in over 100 years. This is our 100-year flood.
And I imagine this has turned your work routine upside down.
Oh, completely. This is pretty much exclusively why the health district is working on. I mean, we still have other clinics. We have WIC, and we have restaurants are still being inspected, and we're still doing things, but the majority of us are working exclusively on COVID-19 response.
What does your day look like right now?
Well, the day... You know, it's interesting. You know, we think about it 8 to 5, but really, my day is set. We have a 1 o'clock meeting where we all come together. I get the daily date case counts, and we start talking about what's going on, what do we need to do for the next period. And so I get the daily case count out. I start thinking about, okay, how are we going to get those messages out for the following day? What's going on? I work on that all afternoon until sometimes 5:30 is good, but usually we all work up until 8 till 7, 7:30. And then I come back the next morning, and I follow that up. Get all of that done so I can have my report at 1 o'clock and I can get my report on what we're doing and we can go get the next daily case count and start it all over again.
Every day. One of the things that we were talking about very briefly before we started was there's a number that comes out, and Larry Holsey provides this number, but you provide that number to him.
Exactly.
7 days a week.
7 days a week. And that's our epidemiologists are doing that. They are taking... positive cases from all over McLennan County, verifying them, because sometimes we get them twice in a row. We get double numbers, so we have to verify all that. They collect that, get that to me, I get it to Larry, and then Larry gets it out to everybody. So it is definitely a teamwork effort. We're all working that 7 days a week.
Yes, and someday... I'm hoping that's going to be over for you.
I know. And you know, I believe that it will. It's one of those things where someday, I don't want to predict when, but yeah, I mean, the 1918 pandemic did slowly come to an end. But in the meanwhile, I'm just dealing with what we're dealing with. We're all working hard. We really have a team spirit that we work together on, and it really helps to know that everyone is right there beside you. I mean, Larry's there for me 100%. Our health district team working together every day. There are times when it's time where, you know, it's your day to be frustrated. It's your day to be motivating. That's kind of how we do it.
Let's turn aside just a little bit. How long have you been with the Public Health District?
Wow. It is... coming up on 19 years. I started on October 15th, 2001.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so almost 19 years.
What's your background? What was the background that led you to where you are?
Oh, it was just one of those random paths, you know, where you never know where life is going to take you. And I graduated from Baylor in 1989 and wasn't sure what I'm going to do. And I had a communications major and I worked at a couple television stations. I worked for the public television and public radio station in Killeen, KNCT, and I really, really enjoyed that. My family had all moved to Waco, and so I decided to come back to Waco, did a few things in the private sector, And at that point, it was like, oh, this is just not kind of what I wanted to do. I enjoy the nonprofit world. I enjoy doing something that was a little higher than selling a widget. So there was an opportunity at the health district, and I applied, and I got the job. And I remember it as October 15th, 2001, because that was the week that anthrax craziness hit
the United States.
So here I was thinking, well, I thought I was going to be just doing, you know, marketing immunizations and talking about immunizations to physicians. And instantly it was, and now we're talking about anthrax. And Kelly, are you prepared to talk about anthrax? And I said, well, yeah, I guess I am. So it started out with a bang.
And you said something, the way you said something, you said it just sort of offhand. I thought I was going to be marketing, this is a different kind of job than in some positions. This is not a PR job that you have. This is public information, which is different.
Correct. It's public information and it's crisis communications. So, yeah, we're really trying to get out important, vital information to the community about what's going on with our health. And so that involves, if we're saying, okay, it's flu season, it's time to get your flu shot, or we're seeing an increase in measles, or we've got a measles case, or we've got some sort of situation health-wise, whether it's TB or Legionnaires, or, you know, 2 years ago, it was a brain-eating amoeba. So it's our responsibility in those crises to reach out to the public and let them know what's going on. And is there a way that, what are we doing for to handle the situation? And what you can do to protect your family. That's really a part of what crisis, that's really what crisis communication is about. I know I had someone say, oh no, you're on TV. That's good. Every time you're on TV, something bad is happening. It's like, well, not always, but yeah, that's essentially what this job turned into. They didn't have a crisis communicator, but as soon as I walked in, it was, well, now you're a crisis communicator.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. There must be times when leaders have to decide what must be shared and what's inappropriate to share. How do you make those kinds of distinctions? And who do you consult with? How do you come to those conclusions?
Yeah, that is always important. That really, particularly when you're talking about healthcare. So we start with, if we're dealing with any kind of case situation, what's important is not only the HIPAA, you know, the Privacy Act, but also if you're dealing with one or two cases, it could be very easy to identify that person, particularly if it's in a business or a school. You can say, oh, well, you know, it's a certain age female. Oh, okay. And people will instantly go, oh, well, I think it's this person or I think it's that person. So you have to be careful. The smaller the numbers of cases, the more you have to be really particular about what your information is. You don't want any identifying features. You don't want anything that could make someone think, whether it's correct or not, that I think it's this person. Mm. Oh, it must be that person. So we have to be very careful with that. And so that's essential, is to protect the privacy of the person involved. The second thing is, we need to make sure that we've got information that is vital to the public, to you as an individual, about, okay, so now we have COVID. What can I do? What does this mean for me? How do I protect myself? How do I protect my family? And that's really the basis of what the messages are. What can you do to protect your family? What can you do right now? Here's what we're doing. Here's what you can do.
How much does that change day to day? I mean, much of that message seems that it stays the same every single day.
You know, and I do sound like a broken record. The medical response essentially doesn't change. And with COVID, it hasn't changed for us since the beginning. Social distancing, stay 6 feet apart, wash your hands, wear a mask. One of the things with the mask issue, which became confusing, was in the beginning, you know, our national leaders were saying, don't wear a mask. And the reason was, don't buy that N95 or that surgical grade mask because our hospitals need it. Hmm. So that became, well, don't wear a mask. It was like, well, no, don't wear this type of mask. If you want to wear a face covering, wear that. So, but the message has not changed. We continue with that message. I know it can get very frustrating for some people, even the reporters that I deal with on a daily basis. And we're just like, well, Kelly, I know you're saying the same thing. They're struggling in the same way to write the story in a different way as I'm struggling to say it in a new, interesting way. But really, the message remains the same for COVID and prevention. The things that worked before are the things that are going to work now and in the future.
When I look at the numbers every day, there's actually quite a few numbers that change every day that I look at. And that you're gathering, that, mm-hmm. that we see. So you have gathered, you gather numbers in McLennan County by zip code.
Yes.
That's, and by gender and by age, mm-hmm. and the number in the hospital and the number on ventilators. I mean, I'm trying to remember all the things.
Yeah, you're right. That's all information that we gather. It's a team of people doing that. I don't have to say I'm not the one individually doing that. But yeah, it's a team of people that are involved in that and gathering all that information. That's part of that 1 o'clock meeting purpose is, okay, what do we have? Do we all have the same numbers? Are we in the right spot? Make sure that there's no confusion on that. And that, of course, involves having that network of hospital outreach and clinic outreach. And, you know, right now school's not going on, but during the school year, school nurses are a valuable resource for us as to understand what's going on with different illnesses, different diseases, whether it's flu, chickenpox. Even when we might have that case of measles or mumps that pops up every once in a while, our school nurses are a part of that outreach force, and they're vital to us.
Who do you talk with beyond McLennan County, beyond Waco and McLennan County? And you're on city and county side, right?
Right,
you're
right.
With both. Beyond this, our own county, who do you talk with?
Well, for myself, I work with the state, the Texas Department of State Health Services. They have a public information office, and so I'm in regular contact with them. Of course, they're extremely busy as well, but they're someone that's an office that I can reach out to and call and ask, okay, so how are you handling this situation? I've got this situation. What's the state perspective? What's the state message on that? And, you know, in 19 years, I've had to do that on occasion with certain instances. So again, I was able to build a relationship with the state office. So if I need to text them, I can text them or they can text me. The thing about any kind of emergency, and this is one of the first things I learned, is the moment of crisis, it's a little late to start to get know each other. You have to build those relationships before the emergency happens, before the crisis happens. And that is a lesson that has just proven so important to me, because we do have those relationships. I have those relationships, whether it's with, you know, our state office, if it's with the media representatives, it's with other members of the community. So we have this relationship of trust that was established years ago.
You've brought up that you right away with anthrax, as soon as you started your job, mm-hmm. anthrax. And then, of course, you've encountered Legionnaire's disease, and you mentioned a brain-eating
amoeba. Yeah.
I know that you had to have been involved when the town of West had the great explosion.
That's true, yeah.
So in a way, you're going from one crisis to another, some bigger than others.
Mm-hmm.
Are there questions that you always ask first?
Well, you start with really what's going on. Tell me what I need to know. What's going on? How does this affect? You know, we're looking at it all from a public health perspective. So, you know, whether it's Legionnaires, you start with, well, what's happening? Where is this happening? How does this affect the people around us? You know, if it's Legionnaires, it's very isolated into one specific building or location. If it's flu, if it's measles, it expands. It really affects a lot more people. And again, you start with the location and then you work out. Okay, so this person was at this location. They were at work and then they went to the store and then they went here. With something like measles, you're looking at that. You're tracing that and like, okay, who do we need to notify that this is happening and they're at risk? With COVID, it's so unknown. It's really starting with, okay, what do we know now? And focusing on what do we know now? What can we tell people to help themselves right now? And how do we get through the clutter of all of the opinions and all of the thought pieces and all of the ideas and all of the study? What does that all mean to us right now? Again, we go back to what is going to help you right now?
For those of you who are just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Joe Riley, talking today with Kelly Crane, Public Information Officer for the Waco-McLennan County Public Health District. And we're talking about, as this show is being recorded, we're in the middle of the great pandemic.
The great pandemic of 2020.
Let's go a little different direction and, sure, and maybe come back to the pandemic.
Sure.
But let's back up a little bit. You're from Waco.
No.
You're not?
I'm not from
You've
Waco.
You've been in Waco a long time?
I've been in Waco a long time. I grew up, I was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and my parents moved for a period when I was very young. And then when I was 8 years old, we moved to Woodville, Texas, which is in East Texas, Southeast Texas. Thank you very much. And it's south of Lufkin and north of Beaumont, to give you an idea. And that's where I grew up since I was 8 years old, and that's where I graduated high school.
But you have family here in Waco.
I do. I have family. I graduated in 1985 from high school and went to Baylor University. And then my sister followed suit 4 years later, and we stayed here. And my parents, when it was time to retire, they realized, well, wait, our children are in Waco. And more importantly, our grandchildren are in Waco.
Yes.
So they moved up to be closer. So we just kind of moved the whole family from Woodville to Waco.
A lot of people on who are listening to this have heard your voice many times on our air.
Yes.
You serve on our Community Advisory Council. And you may be known for many for your driveway moment. Why don't you just briefly tell us your driveway moment?
Well, let me just say, it's a true story. It is a true story. I was meeting my family to go to eat, and I don't remember the name of the building, what restaurant it was at the time, but it was the old Piccadilly on Valley Mills, if that gives you an idea. And so they were standing outside, and I was listening to KWBU, and I was listening to a story, and I pulled up, and I didn't want to hear. I had to stay and listen to the end of the story because the woman was talking about her time in band, in high school band. And let me tell you, I hated high school band. I know people loved it. I hated it. I wasn't any good in it. I was miserable. I hated every minute of it. And it was Sarah Vowell, and she hated every minute of it, too. And so she was telling a story about her time in high school band. And I just said, I'm not leaving the car. I've got to hear the end of the story. It was hysterical. And I was laughing and I was crying. And I could see my family in the rear view mirror waiting in front of the restaurant going, why is she not coming out? I could see them kind of like, why is she not coming out? And so they got together and they sent my sister to go get me. And she gets in the car and I said, you've got to sit down. You've got to hear this story. It is hysterical. And of course, Amy was never a big fan of band either. So, we just sat there and laughed and loved every moment of it. It was, again, it was Sarah Vowell, and she was just telling her own misery of high school band. And it was just, it completely related to it. I knew exactly what she was going through. And it was just, it was a wonderful moment.
I think a lot of people can relate to you. Not necessarily with the band.
Yeah.
Some people will be able to relate to that. But this idea that you hear something and you just want to hear the end of it.
Yeah.
And so part of that has brought you in, and you've been involved with KWBU for years.
Oh, yeah.
Helping us here, volunteering here. What else do you do in the community? What do you do if you ever have free time?
Wow. What is the free time now? Well, you know, again, my family's here, so my family's a very important part of it. And so I do spend a lot of time with my parents. I spend a lot of time with my sister Amy and her husband Mike and my two nephews. Also with my friends, you know, I had my cousin, we were talking the other day, and people say, you're always going and she's always coming to Waco. You're always visiting her. What do you do? And it's so funny because it's like we just sit around and we talk and we laugh. We don't do anything in particular. We don't go any places. We just spend time together with people that I love and just talking and laughing and remembering that story on NPR. I just enjoy socializing with people and having a real connection with them.
Through all the years, 19 now, coming up mm-hmm. on 19, What are some of the things that you could say you've learned through that experience that makes a difference in life?
Be as honest as you can. You know, there's not everything that information that I can give out. There's some things that I'm just bound not to do. And that's okay. If I will give you what I can. What I can't, I'm not allowed to. And standing with that, standing firm, I'm doing what I need to do. I can give you the information to the best of my ability. Beyond that, I can't go further. That is important. You just have to be upfront and say, this is what I can do. The next thing is, you know, we give out information and then it changes, or we got it wrong. You know, this past weekend, there was an issue with getting reports sent to us over the weekend, and we didn't have what we considered the accurate numbers. Well, that's all we can say is we were not able to gather the accurate numbers this weekend. And that's just honest. And people may not like that, but it is the honest. It's the honest truth. And so being upfront with people, letting them know what you can do and what you can't do, and standing by that. You know, I've certainly had pressure from all different parts of in different sectors of, well, we want this information, or why aren't you doing this, or we want you to do it this way. And at a certain point, the decision has been made, and so I'm there to vocalize it. And I can't change that. I can share that with other people. But the idea that, you know, I'm doing what I can do, I'm giving you the most information I can, and knowing at the end of the day, I did what I could do. I can't give you names of everyone that's sick. I can't give you their addresses. I can give you what I can. And knowing that I've done what I needed to do, I've been honest, and I've provided the information that I could.
Moving back a little bit to the pandemic at hand, there are many in our community, as in every community, who have had to make some hard choices as we balance health concerns and with livelihood and care for ourselves and for others and all those things. Do you have anything to say to people who are making those kinds of choices?
Well, I mean, that's not a simple statement. You know, that's really the heart of what we're all struggling with and part of that sacrifice. I can tell you, in the beginning, I had an interview with a Baylor Lariat reporter. And, you know, it was the standard questions, and it was going on fine. And she asked me, do you have any words of hope for us? And that was probably one of the most difficult questions. In some ways, you're answering the same thing. How do you balance that? And what I had to come up with, and it's tough, but the sacrifices that we're making now, that balance we're making now, is important. You know, if you missed July 4th with your family, and that's something that you do every year, or you miss that, you know, that weekly time with your friends, you know, a game night or happy hour or just coming together to watch a certain television show, whatever it is, you're foregoing that, you're sacrificing that so everyone will be staying healthy. The goal is, the hope is, that when this is over, and it will be over, whether it's, you know, in 6 months or another year, when it's over, we'll all be able to come back together and be healthy. We'll all be whole again. We're sacrificing the time now so that we can spend more time together after this is passed. So I don't know if that answered your question, but that's really kind of, for me, the heart of it is, we're asking people to sacrifice certain things. You know, you still have to go to work. You still have to earn a living. And we understand that. And that is important as well. And that goes to your mental health. But we can make some sacrifices. And these sacrifices are going to be worth it. If you think about, I still want to see my friends next year. I still want my mother around. I still want my grandparents around. I still want my aunt, my cousins. I still want them not only here, but happy and healthy. Think about those when you're thinking about those sacrifices. Should I go to the event this week, or am I going to stay home, let that pass, and then next year we're going to have it even better?
Are we learning things from this current pandemic that will or should change us as a community going forward?
Wow. I don't know if it's too early to say that in the thick of what we're doing. What I find remarkable is that when I started working in the health district, the 1918 pandemic was always a topic for preparedness and immunization. That was always a thought. What I find interesting is having, you know, some of that knowledge and that facts and studying the 1918 pandemic, in many ways, we're going through the same issues that we went through 100 years ago. The same concerns, the same questions, the same controversies. What we'll learn this time around, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. I hope that people will come together and remember this time as, you know, we did sacrifice and we were all in it together and it was able to make a difference. But it doesn't seem like it's too early since we've been going through this since March and now it's, you know, July. But I don't know if it's, I don't know if we can say what we've learned overall in the big scope of things until maybe another year from now we can look back and go, okay.
Well, I think so.
Yeah.
Certainly, I look at it and say, I know there's some things I'm going to do different forever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I'm now going to be aware that my breath is going somewhere.
Yeah.
And that I can affect other people that I'm around and sometimes not even realize.
Exactly.
And I think these are the kinds of things that, and we'll, I'm sure I'll get back to going back to events and things like that, but I'll remember things like that.
Yeah.
So we've run out of time.
Oh, okay.
But Kelly Crane, I just want to really thank you for what you do here for the station, and especially really what you've been doing for Waco and McLennan County and helping us understand and see through these things that affect all of our lives.
So, oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
This conversation was recorded July 7th, 2020, in the KWBU studios.